And welcome to Tournament 2 in the Ski Town for this November 10, 2023. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Good afternoon. Politics are done, so we're going to take a little break from it. And let me get my guest, my host, right away. Put your hands together for Pastor Melvin Burns II. How you doing, sir?
Brother Roberts, how are you doing today?
Penn State tomorrow, baby.
Yes, sir. Don't steal my signs. Don't steal my signs.
Hey. How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
How's the temperature out there as far as political things since the mayor's been decided in the Heights?
You know me, I'm not political. I don't know the temperature, brother. You know, it's change. It's inevitable. You know, seen it before, so.
When does that take effect?
Monday.
Okay, wow.
Very next meeting.
Okay. So why don't you tell everybody, matter of fact, let me do some housekeeping.
Okay.
If you are driving and you want to see this, what you could do is go back to WVS 103.7 The Beat or M106. These shows repeat themselves over and over. Also, they're on the Emoji app and YouTube as well. If you would like to get involved in questions and you're like to do that, you can do that as well. Go to WVS 103.7 The Beat or M106 Facebook sites, and you can get in and question, I guess. Pastor, what's the weather for the next couple of days?
Well, brother, today we're going to have a high of 47 degrees. Tomorrow, temperature dipping down to 35 for a low and high of 47 again. Sunday, completing the weekend, we have a high of 51, low of 37, and then starting your work day off Monday, high of 53, low of 42.
Okay, you got any plans for the next couple of days?
Pardon me?
You got plans for the next couple of days?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be all too right. Bad.
Listen, do what I just did while he was doing the weather. Share this to your site, your group, because you're going to want to hear about this. You're going to want to hear about because one of the things that we lack in is knowledge in financial things, especially real estate. Pastor, why don't you introduce our guests today?
Okay, we have for our guest today, Mr. Kelvin Harris of Kelstar Consulting.
Let's see. I gotta teach you how to hype it up.
Okay.
Put the hands together for how you doing? For Mr. Harris, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. That was a great intro. I definitely gotta come back.
Wait a minute, we gotta get him that, you know, the James Brown School of Introduction.
Absolutely.
Listen, Mr. Harris, tell us something about yourself. Tell us our audience about you.
Okay. All right. Well, again, my name is Kelvin Harris. My company is Kelstar Consulting. Kelstar Consulting is a full service financial consulting, wealth strategy, and wealth advisory firm. I go by this very interesting title of integrated asset manager, which is a fancy term for, you know, my job is to make sure that everything that you're doing from an investment, insurance, retirement perspective is all, everybody's singing off the same sheet of music. Everybody's rowing in the same direction. And too often, or more often than not, that's not the case, which, you know, kind of hinders people from meeting their goals. So, you know, big picture is I work with individuals and small business to make sure they understand how to make, keep, grow, protect, and then at some point transfer their wealth to the next generation.
Okay. All right. We talked about this big thing about real estate and empowering people. Let's start there. Can we start there?
Yeah, we can start there. So a lot of my clients are real estate investors. And, you know, as a, you know, what I hope is a good advisor, I'm always looking for opportunities for them to maximize their return, looking for them to solve some of the problems that most people have, whether it's, you know, finding deals or whether it's acquiring proper financing. And in doing so, I kind of came across an opportunity that I believe is going to be a game changer in the real estate industry. I believe it's the future of real estate investment. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, I believe, you know, deep down that this is and can be a game changer for our community, pretty much in all aspects of business, finance, and real estate. And it's basically an opportunity called crowdfunding.
Pastor Burns.
Okay. Well, why don't we talk about that a little bit more? I know the crowdfunding, I've heard it, businesses raising capital for their initial investors. So why don't we talk about that a little bit, and we'll come back into some other things since you whet our appetite with that.
Okay. So a little bit of a history with the crowdfunding. It basically came out of a regulation back in, I believe it was March of 2012, mm-hmm. Called regulation crowdfunding. And essentially what was happening at the time is that, our government recognized that not a lot of Americans were having opportunities to get in on the ground floor or some of these really good, you know, mm-hmm. tech companies, small mm-hmm. businesses, things like that. Mm-hmm. Because prior to, if you were a company looking for angel investors, you had to go to folks who, you know, had money, what they call accredited investors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it kind of was a situation where the rich were getting richer. Mm-hmm. So again, back in 2012, under Obama, by the way, they felt the need to kind of change that. So they came up with the regulation crowdfunding, which is basically overseen by the SEC and FINRA, just as a way to kind of level the playing field in terms of folks being able to invest in, you know, startup companies, but mm-hmm. also real estate investment projects that, you know, prior to they may not had an opportunity to. But also real estate projects that could have significant impact in the community, or maybe it's just a real estate project that has a really good rate of return. And, you know, like everybody else, you're trying to make, you know, your money work for you. So now you have an opportunity to do that. So that was kind of the foundation of the regulation crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. So specifically, when we're looking at, you know, real estate opportunities, just to keep things simple, we refer to it as real estate crowdfunding.
Okay.
Let's put one thing to rest right now. What our listeners or people that are watching say that they don't have a lot of money to get involved in the game.
Well, see, that's actually one of the biggest benefits to this whole real estate or regulation crowdfunding, because it actually creates what they call a more democratized form of investing. Like I said mm-hmm. before, you know, it was the rich getting richer. You know, mm-hmm. we've all seen Shark Tank and things like that. Hey, I want some money for my business. So you go to people who already have money. But, you know, think of it like a GoFundMe for real estate, or a GoFundMe for, hey, I want to start I want to open up a grocery store or something that's going to in the hood, that's going to address the fact that we have all these food deserts. It's really any idea that you can come up with. Now you can go to the general public and say, hey, I have an idea. One, what do you think about this idea? And two, would you be willing to invest, partner with me to bring this idea to be a reality? And in so, you know, you might only have $300, $400, $500, but if we have a crowd of people lending $300, $400, $500, we can make this situation happen. So at the lowest level, to me, that's the power of real estate crowdfunding, relegation crowdfunding, whatever you want to call it, because it allows at the grassroots people to come together, pool their resources, and support projects that they are passionate about and or projects that have an opportunity to be a force for change in our communities.
So you don't have to wait, say you talked about food desert, and you see the opportunity that we need, like a store in our area. If I got together with several people, we could bring that to, we can make that happen.
Yeah, you can make that happen. But again, so, you know, we do live in the United States, and when it comes to money, they a lot of regulations around what we can and cannot do. So again, one of those regulations used to be, if I wanted to invest with you, or I had a project that I wanted to raise capital for, mm-hmm. and just like in this situation, this is the first time we've met. Do you know, I could not come to you as quote unquote strangers and ask you for money. We would have to develop a relationship. There are several phases we go through, you know, and that was to safeguard, you know, folks from, you know, say less unscrupulous or bad actors. So it's not that that was a bad thing. It's just that it also had some negative ramifications. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would have to kind of build a relationship before we could kind of work together. Now, this doesn't apply for friends and family. Like if I've known you for a while, hey, I can go to my aunts, uncle, cousins, and ask for all the money I want. But again, that's a limited amount. That's a limited number of people, assuming right. they would support you. We know how that goes. It's like,
go to the crowd first.
Exactly. So now those restrictions have kind of been lessened in that, you know, there's still a process that you have to go through, which we'll get into in a minute. But now I literally can come up with what I think is a good idea and go to the masses and say, hey, I think this is a good idea. Here's my business plan. You know, I have a pitch deck. I have financial. All these things need to be done because, you know, the SEC, along with the folks who run these portals, they're going to scrutinize you before they let you put this offering up. But once you go through those checks and balances, which are very needed, literally people can sit at home in their pajamas on their couch and go to one of these sites and say, hey, I really like what this person is doing. I'm going to give them $400, $500, $1,000, $4,000, whatever they feel comfortable with doing. You know, I have a crowdfunding project that maybe we'll get into a little bit later, but I'm looking for $400,000 for some property my family owns in Florida. Mm-hmm. So my dream scenario would be if I could get 1,000 people to give me $400, that's $400,000. Mm-hmm. Now just think of the power of that. Mm-hmm. Now what if that same 1,000 people invested in, you know, we decided there were 3 or 4 or 5 other projects that we just, hey, we want this to happen in our neighborhood. We mm-hmm. could literally finance these things ourselves, because once you get that amount of money, you could finance the rest. The problem mm-hmm. has always been coming, the either the hard money lenders or the bank, they want to know, you need some skin in the game. Well, we have skin in the game now. And we, it's the collective we that have the skin in the game.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the collective we, usually this is happening and have been happening with the rich getting, you know, connected with another rich person. And the next thing you know, they own a casino. I mean, but this thing has been happening. This is nothing new.
Yeah, what's interesting, it's been happening on that level for sure. Like I said, the rich get richer, and you know, it's they have that club where, you know, they know, hey, if I'm opening up a a restaurant or a certain investor who like restaurants, but I'm going to these accredited investors, which are typically people who make over $200,000, who have an expectation of making over $200,000 a year for subsequent years, and or have $1 million in asset and net worth. I'm sorry, $1 million net worth. So the government relaxed the rules for people like that because they figured, well, it seems like you kind of know how to deal with money. Mm-hmm. But again, their heart was in the right place because they didn't want folks who may not necessarily be savvy with money to get scammed. So even with the regulation crowdfunding, they put some constraints on it, meaning you cannot, put more than 10% of your annual income into a project. So if I make $100,000 a year, I'm not an accredited investor, but hey, I might find 5 or 6 projects that I want to support. I have a limit of $10,000. Not that you would do that, but then I'll say it this way. So you have a limit on the max, but then on the other side of it is like my crowdfunding project, we have a minimum, and the minimum is $400.
Okay.
So, right. Which means if you have a minimum of 400, and of course, we're going to give you a nice rate of return because we're incentivizing you. And in my situation, I'm even going to give you some of the equity, in a couple of years when we refi, because I want it to be more of a partnership. And that's how a lot of these crowdfunding offerings are. It basically makes everybody an angel investor, even at $400.
Yeah. I'm glad you broke that down, because you was at $250,000 and then $100,000. I was going, keep going down low.
Say, come on down.
Pastor Burke.
Yeah, I like what you said. Tell me this. How is that different than owning shares?
So how is that different than owning shares? So owning shares is, it's similar, but it's different in that there's a more direct connection with the owner, the sponsor. So again, 9 times out of 10, you've seen me do a pitch. Okay. You have my information. When you go on the site, we're doing constant updates. You can email me, and these are any sponsors. There's a more personal connection with that. And then just owning shares again, when you own shares, it's not a clear distinction necessarily of what the business, the company is going to do. Mm-hmm. You have a CEO, a CFO, and they make decisions and they do what they do, and hopefully they make money, and then you do too. Here, we're more clear on our objectives. Mm-hmm. We're going to build this. We're going to create this so that maybe someone's doing a multi-unit in, Flint, Michigan.
Okay,
that's something I want to invest in versus maybe somebody's doing a single family in Indiana. Well, I don't necessarily like the market there. So you're kind of more directly connected with the opportunity itself, is clearly laid out, and you're investing in a particular opportunity or a particular business. So you're more of an investor than a shareholder. So as the invest, as you're getting a return versus, and in some instances, you also have a share of equity. And so that part is similar to a shareholder. But a lot of times you get both, but there's that direct relationship.
Okay. How do we get people when most Americans are like $400 away from a catastrophe or don't have it in their bank account? But how do we get them to take their mindset and say, look, I got to put a little away and I can start changing my life financially because I'm just barely making it?
Yeah, well, again, I'm going to put my financial advisor hat on and say that, what is definitely needed is some real true financial literacy. The fact of the matter is there are some people who may be in a financial situation where they should not be investing right now. You may need to be building. You might need to be saving. You might need to be in more of a protection mode. But then, you know, like I talk to my clients about, at some point we need to get to that situation in our financial life where we have some money that we can put to work. You know, right. The famous Warren Buffett quote, if you don't learn how to have your money work for you while you're asleep, you're going to work until you die. Mm-hmm. So, and this is Warren Buffett saying this, is not, and those are the words he used.
And you need to say that again, because I want people to hear that.
Look, if you can't figure out how to have your money work for you while you're sleeping, you will have to work until you die. So the point is, no matter how much money we make, I don't care if it's, you know, I drive a city bus or I'm a NFL player. Well, a part of what we've missed in this whole conversation is our money has to make us money.
Okay.
Us working for money is fine, but that's you just got into the game. You just got started. Mm-hmm. That's not how, because at some point in time, you physically will not be able to do any more work, but your money can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Right. So how do we transition from wherever we are now? You know, because it's both a mindset, but it's also a process to actually what steps need to be taken from where am I now? And how do I get to the point where I'm comfortable enough where I can put things in place where my money can start working for me? So, but I'm gonna go to the flip side. But there are a lot of us who are already in that position. There are a lot of us who are not, but there are a whole lot of us who are. And unfortunately, we're not maximizing the opportunity because these are people I deal with every day. Kelvin, I make X amount of money, but I don't know what to do with my money. I don't know, you know, how to do this or how to do that or how to make my money make me more money. I don't know how to do these things. Mm-hmm. So while we do have a lot of folks who we need to get to that point, we already have many, many folks who are at that point and they're just not maximizing.
And let's make this, I just want to make this clear. We're not dealing with someone average. This is an author. This is a man that's been in the game for quite a long time. I'm looking at some of your investor highlights, a passive income, growth market, top economy, diversified revenue streams, 12% annual return. Some of the things that you write about. We're going to have you on this show several times just to go through some of the things that you do. I think you're Jamaican. You got 12 hats on. But you're working.
I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take that.
Pastor Burns.
Kevin, why don't you kind of go back again, talk about this idea of people thinking they can't invest. I think of it as somebody who's got a pile of money. What are some of the simple ways people can get started? You talked about crowdfunding. You know, they're working. They got a few dollars in the bank, extra cash. What are some of those simple ways people can get it started? This idea of I want to invest and start making my money work.
Okay, so let me say this for you because I've come up with what I call the five phases to building wealth or financial freedom, because I was looking for a simple way to articulate to my client the path, because there's, regardless of who you are, it's pretty much the same phase. So number one, you need to make money. So we know we live in a capitalist society. If you don't make money, it's pretty much game over right there. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is, you know, are you making enough money? So you could work a job, you could have investments and those sort of things. The other problem is somehow we've gotten the misinformation that the amount of money we make makes us wealthy, and it doesn't. I don't care how much money you make. If you're just making money, you're still at phase one, because at any time that stream can come off. And like my mom told me, there's no amount of money you can't outspend. So It does. You could go buy a Learjet if you wanted to, or a rocket ship. Mm-hmm. I talked to my clients about that to just let them know when you start making money, that's great, but you are just get into the game. Next step, the second step is you need to put strategy in play to keep the money that you made. Now, you need to have a tax strategy. Essentially, there's some other things, expenses and all that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the biggest line item is taxes, meaning now I'm going to say right here, you need to pay your fair share in taxes. But here's what they don't tell you. You decide what your fair share in taxes are based on your tax strategy. And when Warren Buffett pays less than his secretary, he's not ripping off the government. He's just doing what the tax code allows him to do. I don't have to. If I can pay 9% instead of 12%, well, then I must have a really good tax strategy. So first step is make it. Second step is keep it. Make, keep. Then the next, you want to grow your money. And I use the term grow. A little bit different than invest, because growing has a different connotation. Investment, we know investments go up, investments go down. Mm-hmm. We want to have something. When we think about the word grow, we think about something that's measurable and it's consistent and it's more reliable. If I have some seeds and I put them in some dirt and I water them and put it next to the window to give it some sunlight, I could pretty much predict when I'm going to have a plant. Mm-hmm. That's how our money needs to be. But we need to learn what things are going to be more predictable in terms of us getting returns. So we need to make, keep, grow, and then we need to protect. That's where some of the insurances and things like that come in place, because it's not going to do us a lot of good to make, keep, grow our money and then have an accident on the throughway, or have a bad divorce, or have a discrepancy with a business partner, and then lose half or more of what we saved up. There are tools that allow us to save, protect our money, even in divorce. And then last but not least, we want to transfer that to the next generation. So I tell people all the time, if I have a soapbox, this is when I start standing on it, because a lot of us, even we look at celebrities and things, they do a pretty good job with the other four: make, keep, grow, protect. But you look at people like Aretha Franklin, who I think her sons just recently received a small portion of her portfolio that she left. I think at the time of her passing, she had amassed maybe like $80 million, where her sons did not get $80 million. Prince. The fellow alumni from Howard who played Black Panther. Chadwick Boseman, exactly. I heard not too long ago Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, I think his family members, now maybe they received some and I didn't get to update, but my understanding is they're still waiting for the probate situation. Now, how long ago did Prince pass away?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So that make, keep, grow, protect. So we need to put things in, legacy plans, trust and things like that, things that don't have to go through probate, so that money can go immediately to our family, mm-hmm. so they can take it and start putting it to work to make more money for the next generation. Mm-hmm. So that was a kind of a long-winded answer, but so there, in other words, we need to make sure we're taking the right steps so that we're able to take advantage of these situations, make enough money, look to reduce our taxes, save it, and now put some of that money to work. So until we do those sort of things, we're probably not really going to be in a good position to invest confidently and comfortably, because you still it's kind of like you don't have your financial house in order. Right. So you might be making a lot of money and then out there investing and doing all kinds of things. And then boom, something happens. And now your whole house of cards come down because you didn't build that foundation correctly.
Yes.
Wow, man, you spend so much. we gotta break it down here, because how do we? I mean, I know you just walked us through the steps, but we really want to empower our people. Mm-hmm. And there's some mindsets and some things that we have to come through. What are some of the negative things that we need to stay away from? And then what are the positive things that we need to head towards?
Well, I think the negative things, which is probably not come as too much surprise, it's the, you know, the get rich quick and that sort of stuff. You know, there are a lot of scams out there, and 9 times out of 10, not all the time, you know, if you know, the get rich quick is not really the way to do it. Again, I tell my clients all the time, it's hard to get rich quick. It's very easy to get rich slow. But see, it's slow is boring. it's not sexy. Just, you know, doing the same old thing over and over again. Well, yeah, that's called compound interest. Your money is just doing the same old thing. It's just making you more money over and over and over again. And then you look up and you got a lot of money, but it wasn't exciting. So I think we need to get away from, you know, that kind of emotional part of around finances and just look at it as like a math problem. This is a math mm-hmm. problem. You know, mm-hmm. I can do math. I can do this. And, you know, put those things in place that just make mathematical sense in terms of your finances. And we'll be much, much better off.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Burns.
I think I missed one of your 5 points, but you talk about you do some work with businesses as well. How different is that from what you do with individuals, and what kind of directions are you going there?
It's very similar, because at the end of the day, you know, especially in our community, the business is the person and the person is the business. So that's a whole, again, to Mr. Roberts, that's a whole nother session where I can come back.
We'll get you back.
It's like, are you work in your business or you work on your business? Which one are you doing? So a lot of times people are the business. When they are not around, the business not around. So that's not really business per se. But the way I look at it is, for most people, when they start a business, their objective is for it to benefit them and their family financially. So mm-hmm. I basically say, keep the main thing the main thing. Okay. Let's focus on that, and let's make sure that your business is a positive, you know, transferred into an asset that's going to make money for you and your family, whether you're there or not. The other thing is, in terms of the steps, it's kind of the same. They just have different terminology. So when I say make money for businesses, increase revenue. Where I say save money for the business is reduce taxes and expenses. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same sort of thing, the protection. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the science of money doesn't really change whether you're using a business to make it or you're doing it as an individual. It's just a matter of the fact that you know, the terminology might change a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's still, you know, it's still the same. You know, when I say, you know, grow money, asset accumulation. Well, that's the same thing as growing your money. You're just using different words. So there's that. That's really what we're looking at.
You keep mentioning a phrase that you want to make money for you and your family and, you know, your future family. And I am so interested in that. Is it ever too late to get involved in, so you can pass money down to your grandkids and their kids? And is it ever too late to start getting involved?
No, it's never too late, because the first step with that process is the education, is the financial, I'm going to say education. You know, unfortunately, in this country, we do a poor job with what I call real financial literacy, not right. showing me how to balance my checkbook that people don't even use anymore, not that sort of stuff. You know, there's real financial literacy. So we don't do a real good job at that. So in order to, you know, the reason why education is so important, because once you know, so let's say you learn some financial strategies late in life, and maybe you weren't able to implement it now, but if you embed those in your children, then they're still going to be successful. I tell people all the time now, one of the things that helped me is now that I understand finances, I feel like at any time, you know, whatever the situation is, if I were to lose whatever I had, I could build it right back because I understand how money works. That's the first thing. Once we as a community understand how money works and understand how the system of money works in this country, then, you know, we can start to take off. So it's never too late, because you want to start with that that foundation, and you want to pass it on to your children and then some your children's children. Because mm-hmm. with that knowledge, whatever they do in the future, they're going to be 10 times more successful because they understand the system of money. And I'll say this on that this is going to have to be one of our other sessions. There is actually two systems of money in this country. This is my opinion.
Okay.
Because I see it all the time. It's one for the educated and one for the uneducated. People who know how money works, they don't even worry about the stuff we worry about all the time. Mm-hmm. We worry about paying taxes and this and that. They don't worry about that because it's like they're playing a different game. Mm-hmm. The question is, okay, so when are we going to, now I'm talking about our community, but I'm actually also talking about Americans in general. Mm-hmm. This is not just us, because I have clients, Black, white, Hispanic, across the board. And we all have similar problems, just to, you know, varying degrees. Mm-hmm. But as I, you know, you talked about my book, as I started doing research on, you know, what are some of the things out here? What are the wealthy doing? Or what are some of the things out here that we're not being told about? We're being steered, hey, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that's fine, 401ks. But then you begin to realize, well, hey, what about this thing here? Mm-hmm. What? I like to give analogies when I do my presentations. It's kind of like, you ever been to a jewelry store? You're going to, you know, maybe go yeah. buy your girl a ring or something. And you're looking at the little case up front. And then somebody comes in with the suit and they're like, oh, Mr. So-and-so, come. And they take him to the room in the back.
That's right.
I want to go to the room in the back. What's in the room in the back? Because it's obviously not the same stuff that's out here.
Right.
That's
right.
How you need to think about our financial system and, you know, our system of money. It's stuff that we just don't even know about. Yeah. That, you know, because again, it's not that these folks are smarter than us. They just have access to information. Now they have the money to take full advantage of it. But again, just give me the knowledge first. Don't worry about that. I'll get the money. I just need to know what I need to do. I need to know what I need to do with it before I get it. So give me the knowledge first.
Right. And you bring up a very interesting point, because I noticed a couple of years ago, we had a friend that was in the NFL and his mother got sick. Now, the medicine and that the care that she got was different than the normal person that would go to another hospital. And I was amazed by that when I saw that. And here's the thing, she's still living and most of us are dropping dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right about the education.
Yeah, it's okay. And I need to be careful, because, you know, us folks from Howard, we have a we get hit with that conspiracy theory thing, so I'm not going to go too deep. But I would just say, if you really sit back, and I love the fact that you guys talk about politics and things like that, but if you really sit back and look at the systems in our country, you know, I think there's no argument they don't necessarily serve our community that well. But at some point, you have to look at them and say, you know, whether it's the educational system, what we know about the school to prison pipeline, the judicial system. We don't even have to say anything about that. Mm-hmm. The medical system, how, you know, African-American, you know, women and labor and other things, they're less likely to believe when they say they're in pain. So none of these systems seem to really be servicing us in a sense, and maybe the larger community as well. So why would you think the financial system would be any different?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Pastor Burris, wow.
You know, let's talk about families.
Mm-hmm.
The potential they have to help, again, change this whole wealth picture. Has things changed over the last 10 years where families are doing more or less, or we're kind of where we were, where families are saying, hey, maybe if I can't do individual, we can do things together?
I don't know if I really have any statistics on that. I think from just things I've kind of heard or came across anecdotally, you know, you hear things that just say from a statistical standpoint, we're not much better off than we were in the 60s. Yeah. So I don't necessarily not believe that. I just think, again, we do have an opportunity, though. I mean, that's the one thing about this country. You always got a chance. You got an opportunity. Yeah. Now, if you're going to take the opportunity, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, obviously it starts with family. Getting the education, getting what I call real financial understanding, how is it that the wealthy, you know, and I, for some reason, we're kind of scared to dive in that. All these folks that are wealthy, the Rockefellers, the Buffetts, there was a time they weren't wealthy. So they were just like you once upon a time. What did they do to make the switch? Mm-hmm. Now, again, maybe you can do it, maybe you can't, but you at least need to know. You know, if I ever get my hands on some money, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay, that's good.
So, yeah, but it definitely starts with family, because, again, to me, just the mindset and understanding that having that fear, you know, not making money the god, because you don't understand it. You're always chasing it. Your whole life revolves around it. Understand it. Understand how you can use it and leverage it. And then, you know, go about your life, because all of us over time, you know, we're again, if we're alive and in this country, we've got to be making some money.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, do you know what to do with it when you get it and how to maximize? And that's really the key, because small changes can make a big difference. But again, it's probably not going to be sexy, exciting. It's gonna, when you see it, you know, and I'll end on this, you know, I've done a lot of financial education. I've taught at different schools, you know, Columbia University, different corporate clients. Most of the stuff that I teach is on an eighth grade level.
Okay.
And when people, when people see it, it's kind of like, you know, have you ever had that emotion where you were mad and glad at the same time?
Yeah,
why did I know this sooner?
Why did not? It's like, man, I'm glad somebody's telling me this, but I'm pissed that nobody told. If I had known this 20 years ago when I got my car repossessed, it wouldn't. Then you start thinking back, it woulda, coulda, shoulda. So that's why it's so important.
That's good.
Okay, so let's put this in some steps. We're at 15 minutes left to go on the show. Let's put this in steps. I'm new to the game. I need to be informed, educated, but I really want to change my lifestyle today. How do I start?
Well, you can, you know, I'll selfish plug, you can reach out to me at Kelstar Consulting. Okay. Because, and I'm saying that half joking, but half not, because I don't want to throw my industry under the bus too much, but I keep, you probably notice I keep saying true financial literacy. Mm-hmm. They got there's a lot of cookie cutter stuff out there. You go to the, I won't mention different names, but you, I'm sure the folks that are out there, and they, and I'm not even blaming the people who work for them, because again, at a bigger level, you have corporations who have these financial institutions who are concerned about their bottom line more than they're concerned about yours. I'm not going to say they're not concerned about yours, but they're certainly not concerned about yours to the extent they're concerned about theirs. So Hello. When you come in, they literally tell their advisors, okay, you got to sell so many of these and so many mutual funds. Well, maybe the person doesn't need a mutual fund. Did you ever think of that? Mm-hmm. So, what I do is I start with education. I'm like, put your checkbook down. Don't worry about any of that. Let me just break some stuff down for you. Let's get the basics, like, you know, the wealth formula. You know, your, you know, the wealth formula is, you know, again, there's a formula for building wealth. It's not an accident. You need to know the formula or you don't. The formula is money plus time, rate of return minus inflation minus taxes, which simply means you need your money working somewhere over a period of time. That's the boring part. At a rate of return that's going to be high enough to offset taxes and inflation. Okay. If you do that, you're building wealth. If you don't, not only you're not building wealth, you're losing money. That's what you need to know. Mm-hmm. Let's use your money sitting in a bank at 3%. Well, inflation is used to be 3%. It's something crazy now, but let's just pretend it's still 3%. Then you have like another 2% or so on taxes, because you know when you make money on your money, mm-hmm. they tax you. So right there, when your money, a lot of us, when our money is sitting in the bank and we're thinking it's safe, it is, but you're losing money. So one, you need to know that. Mm-hmm. Then we go on to things like rule of 72. How hard is my money working for me? Mm-hmm. Rule of 72 says if you take your interest rate, you take 72 and divide it by your interest rate, that's going to tell you how long it's going to take your money to double. So if you have your money in an account at 1%, they say you have $10,000 in there, and you want to know how long it's going to take me before I have $20,000 if I don't do anything. 72 divided by 1 equals what? 72. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, let's not talk about who's going to be around 72 years ago. Let's just talk about your money just going to be flipping a second time, going from 10. So obviously, that's way too long for your money to double. So, right. But see, now that I know that, see, before, I just put my money in the bank and I'm thinking, oh, probably it's going to double in another 20 years. Nobody told me it was going to be 72. So now that I know it's 72, now I know I probably need to look at some other options.
Right.
So the knowledge itself helps you move to that next step. Mm-hmm. I'm losing money in the bank, more than likely, and my money ain't working hard for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So is there any mystery now why we're not all financially successful? I just only told you two things.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but that's the education we need. That real, okay, so now it's like that'll light a fire under you to know, okay, you can leave your money in there at 1%. Just know 72 years from now, you can come back and you'll see twice as much.
Okay.
Pastor Burns. I'm over here choking.
No, don't choke. We don't want you to choke.
I go here is to inform people, and I do want you to give people your information. But before you do that, I've talked to several people like you who, you know, do this, and tell us how this became your passion and sort of what are your values and your motivation for doing this.
Wow, that's a great question. That's a great question. How much more time we have? I gotta give y'all the short version.
Okay.
So as I mentioned, I graduated from Howard University in 1985 with a degree in architecture, was working with some of the top firms in the city, kind of worked my way up through the ranks, was doing very well, had gotten to a point with my last firm. I was what they call an associate principal, which is kind of like a senior associate at a law firm. Mm-hmm. And then 2010, 2011 came, and a few things happened. Number one, the company I was with, they went bankrupt. So mm-hmm. my nice salary went bankrupt too. Number two, I had my first run-in with the IRS. They said I owed them some money. I knew I didn't owe them the money. Mm-hmm. I paid my accountant more money to prove to them I didn't owe them the money. And after a long extrapolated period of time, they agreed, Mr. Hash, you know what? You are right. You don't owe us this money. Unfortunately for you, statute of limitations are over. You're not getting your money back.
Wow.
So then after that, I was, waiting for a nice refund check to come that I was expecting. So, when you wait for that refund check, you're looking for the mailman every day. Mailman comes, I go outside, little letter from the IRS, I open it up, there's no check inside. I read the letter, say, hello, Mr. Harris, it's the IRS. We'd just like you to know we have taken the liberty of applying your refund to your outstanding student loan. Have a nice day. So literally, this goes to, what was the catalyst for what I'm doing in a 18-month period, I was literally out about $100,000. So let me tell you what happens when you lose $100,000 in 18 months. You get very serious about financial education. And you're like, look, I got to get this thing figured out. And that's what set me on the path to where I am today.
Yeah. So it's part of your desire for other people not to have that educational experience.
Absolutely. Because I'm like, as many people, and this is what I see, For most folks, it's like the story is the same. Once upon a time, I was making a lot of money. Then something happened, fill in the blank, and now I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. So my whole thing is I'm trying to get to the people before they get to the fill in the blank. Yes, yeah. I had a divorce. My house got repossessed. I had a parent who got sick and I spent all my retirement, whatever that something is, if we can get you before that, I can save you some of the heartache that I went through. But even if not, then afterwards, we just got to build you back up. So you're gonna really need that education because you need to replenish as quickly as possible. So you really need to be on a track and be very focused and being intentional about getting your finances together.
Yeah. I want to take time, and we got like 7 minutes, but I want to really take that time to break this down because we want to have you back on the show.
Yes.
But your website, your phone number, your books. Here's a chance to give that shameless plug because we want people to get out of that mentality and understand and get that education where they can start making money and have that generational wealth to pass on and down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in 100% agreement. So my website is www.kelstarconsulting.com. That's K-E-L-S-T-A-R consulting.com. My email is kelvin.harris@kelstarconsulting.com. My book on Amazon, you can get it, in all forms, hard copy, ebook, as well as Audible, is The Secret Tax-Free Savings and Investing Strategies. I go into four of those things that is like, why didn't nobody tell us about these four things? Now, there's more than four, but that's my first book. I'm saving the rest for subsequent. But these are the four that if you start with these, you're on a good path. And then we can talk about others. I wanted to see if I could post my crowdfunding offering I'll just put it like this. You can go to, so Secure Living is the group that I'm working with that has the crowdfunding portal. So if you go to Secure Living, you'll see two opportunities up there. Mine is the one near Tallahassee that you can invest. Right now we're doing what's called, we're testing the waters. So we're not collecting any money. We're just kind of feeling out how interest people are. Like I said, I'm trying to raise about 400,000. We're a little bit over half of that in soft commitments. So you can make a commitment, and then in January, we'll actually start collecting money. So Secure Living, the site is Secure Living REIs, R-E-R being real estate investment, real estate investment, SecureLivingREI.com. And then you can just go /offerings and you can see that project. And, you know, I encourage everyone who can and who can, you know, and who's willing to support, just make a commitment. If you're not able to, contact me. Let me work with you on your finances to get you to a place where you can do, you know, future offerings and take advantage of future investment opportunities.
We couldn't write fast enough trying to get all that information, but we'll just watch the show again, because the thing that you hit on is that a couple things that it's all about educating yourself to it. You know, things take time. You know, we want that bling now. We want that lotto money now.
Right.
But it comes with education, time, and other things. But we have to start somewhere, and that's the point.
You have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
We have to start somewhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If people are listening, or if you check in the comment and the chat section, you'll see both the webpage and the Secure Living for the crowdfunding. If you watch it later on, when you run this, look in the comment section, and you'll see that information for Mr. Harris.
So we're gonna make sure that this information gets out to you. Mr. Hare, can we have you back on? Because we didn't even touch. we didn't touch the surface of all the stuff that we need to do education to educate our people.
Yeah. No, I'd love to come back. Like I said, this is, you know, This is what I do. I've made this my focus. So this is kind of my passion. This is kind of my ministry, because, you know, I see so many very talented, intelligent folks that I work with on a, you know, and even prior to be getting in finances. And I would always wonder, like, all these smart people, talented, why is everybody having money problems? Mm-hmm. Either these folks are not as smart as I think they are, or it's something that they're not telling us. Mm-hmm. When I got into financial services, I was like, it's something they're not telling us.
All right. Ms. Harris, any last things you would like to say before we end the show?
No, well, I just appreciate being here. I'm so honored that you guys would invite me on this platform. I'm just super excited about, you know, working with you and being here, and both now and in the future. You know, feel free to use me as a resource at any time. And, you know, much continued success with what you're doing. You know, you are pillars of the community, providing us with valuable information that we really need. So thank you both for what you do.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And have a good day.
All right. Taking good stuff.
All right. Wow. Oh my gosh. It's so much. It's well, so much. We got to have them back, man.
Excited these shows, and we get a chance to inform people and really just give them some stuff they need. You and I get excited about it. You know, we love what we do, but we know we're giving people information they don't hear every day. They don't tune in every day. We really get excited about this. And we love this show when we're able to provide these kind of things to people.
You know, again, like you said, it's not the sexy thing. You know, people, they want stuff like now, but if you get the education, you know, because I think about what I tell my told my kids, hey, take your money, put it in the 401k. Yeah. Okay. Totally wrong. And so I need to change up. But hey, wait a minute. It's 3 o'clock. Listen, we got to end the show. Go out and, like we say, sow a seed into somebody's life. You never know who you might touch. Hey, my brother, take care. You guys take care.
Don't forget those veterans. Thank you so much for your service.
Oh, thank you, veterans. And Kilgo is the unofficial winner in Ward 1 in the city of Muskegon. Take care. God bless. We'll see you next week.
All right.